Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. He said we were going to sing all 13 verses of that song, and I was trying to decide how much of my sermon I was going to throw in the trash. But then I thought, you people love preaching, so we would just do both. Oh, wow. I'm so convinced now. Exodus chapter 16, we're walking through the Old Testament, seeing pictures of Jesus, and tonight, some of the ones we've looked at have kind of been a little more difficult to see, not so clear maybe as others, but this one tonight is very, very clear, and I think you'll see that as we get into the text this evening. Exodus chapter 16, you're going to notice as we go through some of these passages in Exodus, a repeating pattern. God's good. Amen. He's merciful. Amen. He's gracious. He hears the prayers of his people. He delivers them from their affliction and their trouble. He saves them from their enemies and certain death. And then they murmur and they complain and they gripe and they grumble. And then God is merciful and gracious anyway. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you thankful that you can read about people like that? And because you don't know anybody like that. And you've certainly never been anybody like that. Right? Wrong. Reading about Israel is very convicting to me. Because when I read the word murmur, it's a mirror. And friends, just remember, when you're complaining about the weather, when you're murmuring about your circumstances that are beyond your control, the Lord has brought you to that place. Amen. And let's be really careful not to murmur and complain against the Lord. Amen. And you're going to find a lot of times they blamed Moses, but the Lord was the one leading them. Right. And so you can blame it on somebody else. We like to complain about the government. You complain about your parents, your upbringing, your pastor. You can murmur and complain about all kinds of stuff, but at the end of the day, whatever your circumstances are, God's sovereign over that. Amen. So let's be careful. He's still merciful. Amen. But we should have lips of thanksgiving and praise, Amen. Not murmuring and complaining. Amen. That sermon was for free. All right, let's get into the real one. Verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim. Exodus 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim. And the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. All right, you remember last time, what was it? You brought us here to kill us with thirst. You brought us out here in the middle of the desert, and there's no water but this bitter water. And God blessed them, showed Moses a way to turn the bitter water sweet. Now they continue to wander, and now they're out of food. They ain't got no victuals. I'm trying to speak where you guys can understand. Some of you can appreciate that. They didn't have any sustenance. I want to make sure I get everybody. They didn't have anything to eat. And so, again, you see the fear and the frustration of the people. Listen, why is it that they're being so angry? Why are they so upset with Moses and Aaron? Well, they're hangry. Everybody knows what hangry is, right? If you don't, that means you're so hungry that you're angry. And if you didn't know that was called hangry, you've at least experienced it. I'm not going to name any names of people I live with, but some people in my family get hangry when they're hungry. But can I just say, this isn't somebody who skipped breakfast and they're real hungry for lunch. This isn't somebody who worked through the day and they haven't had time to eat and they got home and they're really hungry. These are people who have been wandering around following, I say wandering, they've been following the Lord in the desert, not knowing where they're going. They're wondering where they're going. He's leading them in the way, Amen. And they don't have any food. So this isn't just, I'm real hungry, this is, I don't know how I'm going to eat. I don't know how I'm going to feed my wife and my kids. Everybody with me? Now, there are probably a couple of you in the room tonight who know something about being that kind of hungry, but most of you don't have any idea what that's like. I don't have any idea what that's like. I have family and friends who do know what that's like, but most of us have no idea what that's like, to go for days without food and not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. So that's where they're at. Now, is it excusable to murmur against the man of God? No. Have they not been shown that God is faithful and God will provide a way? Amen. Do they not know yet that they can trust in the Lord? Amen. Well, apparently they don't. So their fear and frustration, and yet again we see the mercy and the provision of God. Look at verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Wow. They are murmuring and complaining because they don't have anything to eat. We could have just stayed in Egypt and died there. At least we had food to eat. We could have died with our bellies full. Now we're going to starve to death. And God says to Moses, I am going to rain bread from heaven. Isn't that awesome? What a savior. What a merciful God. All they've got is murmuring and complaining. They're not crying out to the Lord this time. This time they're just griping at Moses, and God says, I'm going to provide a way. And listen, friends, he provides a way literally when there's no other way. You can't find food under the rock. You can't find food in the water. You can't find food in the cactuses, in the caves, in the mountains. They can't find food enough anywhere. So God says, look up. Look up, because I'm going to send bread down from heaven. Verse 5 says, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather. So God says, I'm going to send bread from heaven every day, one day through the sixth day, and on that sixth day you're going to gather up twice as much, so you'll have enough on the Sabbath day so you can rest on that day, and I'm going to provide. I'm going to provide. So God shows them great mercy, and just get this, friends. Do you see it? I will rain bread from heaven to take care of your hunger. That good? Okay. Those of you that don't get it yet, you're going to get it before we're done. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then you shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. How do they not know already? Okay, guys, you're going to really get it this time. I mean, they saw the plagues in Egypt. They walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. And then when they got through, they watched God drown the Egyptian army. Like, God has already done miracle after miracle after miracle. They know God's brought them out. But look, Moses and Aaron are like, listen, okay, guys, okay, tomorrow you're going to know. Boy, those people, I know those people because we are those people. I mean, just how many times does the Lord have to hit you in the face with a 2x4 miracle? Just wake up. Amen. In the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? You get that? The Bible says they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, but the word of God clarifies for us they weren't really murmuring against Moses and Aaron. They were murmuring against the Lord. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. Well, I'm not complaining about the Lord. I'm complaining about my boss. Yeah, who gave you that boss? Who set them in authority over you? I'm not complaining about the Lord. I'm complaining about my husband or my teacher or the government or my parents or whatever you want to. Listen, friends, we need to be careful about our murmuring and complaining. You might not think it's a big deal, but the Lord certainly does. Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. So he gets everybody together and says, God has heard your murmuring against him, and they look. I don't know exactly how this worked. Remember, they're in a mountainous desert region, and we remember that the cloud was there by day and the pillar of fire by night. We know that that was going on. The idea is the whole congregation's looking at Aaron while he's addressing them, and they're looking past him out into the wilderness, and there on the horizon, the cloud is there, and God's glory shows up. Amen. Just like he said it would. And the glory of the Lord shows up, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12, now I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less, and when they did meet it with an omer, or measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. All right. Here God gives the people his knowledge and his glory. The knowledge and the glory of the Lord are put on display for them here. What did he want to do? I want you to know that I am the Lord your God. Amen. How were they to know that he was the Lord their God? Because he was going to show them his glory, and he was going to give them bread from heaven. Amen. Everybody still with me? Now, you can go on and read the rest of this chapter. You're going to find that these people didn't listen. He said, go out and measure an omer, one omer for each person in your house. You say, how much is an omer? I have no idea, except that it's the tenth part of an ephah. That's what it says in verse 36. If that clears it up for you, I don't know. But if you get 10 omers, you get an ephah. You know what you get if you get 10 ephahs? Me neither. No idea. I don't have any idea how much an omer was or an ephah was. It was a measurement that they knew, though. And when they went out and gathered that much, it was enough. It was enough. They didn't have too much or too little. It was exactly what they needed. Amen. When they went out and gathered what God said. Now, some of them didn't listen. Some of them went out and left it of the morning. And it bred worms and it stank. And so then they got scared when it came time for the Sabbath. They decided not to gather double like they were told to on Friday. So on Saturday they go out together and there's none there. So even when God shows them his glory and shows them and gives them bread from heaven and gives them very detailed instructions, they still don't stinking listen. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from this chapter. A lot of lessons that we can learn about obedience. Remember, God said, I'm gonna give you bread from heaven so that I can prove whether you will keep my commandments or not. He was going to provide for them, but he was going to test them. He's going to prove them to see if they would be obedient. When they went out to see it, they said, it's manna. How many of you know what the word manna means in the original? Don't be scared. Yeah, it means what is it? What a great name. If you look up the word manna in the Old Testament in the Hebrew, it means what is it? These people are clever. Really original in their thinking and their name giving. They named it what is it? Hey, you guys are looking for a baby name. What is it? It's a girl. You just name her girl. Listen, I had a great aunt. Her name was Aunt Baby. I'm not making this up. She was born at home, and everybody just called her baby. Never bothered to give her a name. And so when she went to school, she got to school, and the teacher asked her what her name was, and she said, I don't know, everybody calls me baby. And that was her name for as long as I ever knew her, Aunt Baby. So these people are like Aunt Baby's parents, like hard time with a name. What is it? Yeah. This is like who's on first. Can you imagine that? Like dad goes out to gather it up and brings it in and the kids are like, what is it? What is it? Yeah, that's what I said. What is it? I don't know. I'm asking you, what is it? Okay, how many of you have seen Who's on First? God bless you. If you have not seen Who's on First, go home and watch it on YouTube tonight. And if you're not blessed by this, maybe you'll be blessed by that. So they had a hard time listening and obeying. But all of this was going to be a memorial and a testimony to the Lord. You can see that at the end of the chapter. God would have them gather some up to keep it with the testimony so that they could always remember how God provided for them. So God said, I'm going to give you bread from heaven. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6 and find verse 29. John 6, 29. If you have a Bible in your lap, open it to John 6. It really, do that because it'll help you a lot. It'll help you to have the black and red letters. You don't get those on the screen, right? Right? Okay. John 6, 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent. There's a great truth there, right? You want to have eternal life? You want to have eternal life? Do the work of God. What's the work of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they wanted a sign from Jesus as if he hadn't done any signs, wonders, or miracles. They wanted a sign. I think what they wanted was bread. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Hey, Jesus of Nazareth. Moses gave us bread from heaven. What are you going to give us? Let me correct your theology, the Lord says. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father gave that bread. And my Father gives the bread that gives life. Isn't that good? Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Yeah. Smartest, that's the first smart thing they've said. And Jesus said unto them, you ready? I am the bread of life. Just stop right there. I am the bread of life. He'll say it again in verse 48. I am the bread of life. In verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Over and over and over, the Lord is going to say, I am. Now, we know that the Old Testament is full of the name of the Lord. We would say Jehovah, some might say Yahweh, but at the end of the day, it is the I am. And so Jesus is just time and time, doubling down, tripling down, I am, I am, I am. I am the bread of life. Look at verse 35. Carry on. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. You know, I remember reading this, trying to study it when I first started studying the Bible, and I'm really confused because I'm thinking bread doesn't make you not thirsty. Anybody else think like that? Like, bread doesn't make me not thirsty. Bread makes me more thirsty. And I didn't understand it. But what we're doing here is looking into the Old Testament, what Jesus is pointing back to, and what happened. What happened before the manna? Well, that was the waters of Marah that were made sweet. What happens after the manna? That's when they go to the rock, where the water flows out. See, he's all of these Jewish people that were listening to him would have understood exactly what Jesus was alluding to. And what happened there? God the Father provided water for the thirsty people of Israel. God the Father provided bread for the hungry people of Israel. And Jesus is saying, I will quench your thirst and I will fulfill your hunger. Amen. But I said unto you, verse 36, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all that which he hath given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen. The Father sent me down. I am the true and living bread from heaven. And if you believe in me, you will never hunger, you will never thirst, but you will have life everlasting. Amen. There's an allusion here. He's talking about the Father giving to the Son. I would encourage you to study that more deeply. But you got to remember, Jesus just showed up. There are very few that understand who he is. There are people who have been believing in God, believing his word, looking for Messiah their whole lives, and they belong to the Father, and those who have faith in the Father will have faith in the Son. Isn't that what Jesus said? You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, you believe also in me. He said to those who didn't believe, he said, you don't believe me because you don't believe my Father. And if they believe the Father, they would believe the Son. Here's what I know. Whoever comes to Jesus by faith, whoever believes on him, has everlasting life. He came from the Father. Verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at him. Huh. You guys catch that? The Jews murmured at him. That's the first time they've ever done that, isn't it? Hey, the people of God have been murmuring against God since there were a people of God. Are you the people of God? Well, if you have faith in Jesus, let me help you out. If you have faith in Jesus, you are the people of God. Amen. And so let's don't carry on the tradition. Let's let it die here. Let's stop murmuring against the Lord. The Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Listen, if you don't know where Jesus came from, that seems like a pretty valid question. We tend to be hypercritical of them, but wouldn't you want to know? Listen, I've known Joseph and his mom and dad. I've known them my whole life. You know, they just live over there, and we've seen him grow up with Joseph and Mary and watched him work in his daddy's carpenter shop. I mean, can you just hear? And now he's saying he came from heaven? I think he must have hit his head. That's what they're wondering. And listen, maybe with good reason, unless they have seen his miracles and heard his message. That changes everything. Amen. Verse 43, murmur not among yourselves. Listen, when you're over there whispering in a crowd and you know he can't hear you, and he looks at you and says, don't murmur. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath what? What does he have? Okay, just a second. Are you believing in Jesus tonight? So what do you have? Which means you're not going to die and spend eternity in hell. So could you just try to say everlasting life with somewhat of a smile? You can do it. Praise God. What do you have to do? Keep the law? Live a sinless life? Be baptized? Join a church? Be a missionary? Give all that you have and sell everything and give it to the poor? No, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Man. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are what? D-E-D, dead. Dead. That's the phonetic spelling. That's the Bragg spelling. They ate manna and they are dead. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Amen.
And Jesus says some plain things here, doesn't he? He is the bread of life. They ate manna, but they died. I don't know, but when the Lord says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, I kind of think he must have gestured to himself. If he didn't with his hand, he certainly did it with his words.
Amen.
This is the bread of life. This is the bread of life that comes down from heaven. You can eat this bread and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And here's the bread. I'm going to give my flesh. I'm getting my flesh. Hey, you guys remember how the veil was torn in the temple?
Amen.
Some 12 feet tall, 4 inches thick or more. From top to bottom, it was torn.
Amen.
The veil which was torn, which is his flesh.
Amen.
To give access to the Father by faith. Verse 52. If they were losing their mind because he said he came down from heaven, now they're really losing their mind because they're saying, you need to eat my flesh. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? There's some really, I imagine that there were some really practical guys in the crowd looking around like, there's not enough of him to go around. I just imagine that there's at least one of those guys in the crowd. And some of them are just disgusted, and some of them are really confused. Because cannibalism is bad.
Amen.
Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Don't eat people. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, but there are people on this planet who don't know you shouldn't eat people.
Amen.
Don't eat man flesh. That's bad.
Amen.
And here's the Savior saying, you have to eat my flesh. And they don't know what to do with that. And so what does Jesus do? Does he step back and say, now listen, guys, I know you're really confused by my theology here. Just settle down and just relax and let me explain to you very gently what I mean. Look at it. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
Listen, Jesus doesn't handle people the way we would. When the rich young ruler went away sorrowful, Jesus didn't chase after him saying, hold on now, I just want you to understand what I mean. Please don't go. No, he gave him the truth that he needed, and he let him deal with it. Why? Because the Lord doesn't force us to believe. He calls us to believe. He convicts us to believe. He gives us the truth that we need to believe, but we have to make the decision to believe. It's up to us to repent and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. So a lot of people get confused by this. Do we literally eat Jesus? Our Catholic friends get confused by this. They believe in a doctrine called transubstantiation, which means that when the priest gives somebody the communion, the bread, that when they put it in someone's mouth, it literally turns into the flesh of Jesus. That's what they believe that. That when they drink the cup, they believe that when it goes into the mouth, it literally becomes the blood of Jesus. Well, why would they think that? Well, Jesus just said, it is blood indeed. It is flesh indeed. It is truly, truly flesh and blood. So it's no wonder that some people get confused. But I think the Bible explains itself, and I think Jesus has already given us the answer. How many times did he say, this will give you eternal life? And where does it come from? Here at the end, he says it comes from eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But he's already clarified what that means before in this sermon that he's preaching to them. It is by faith. Amen. How do you partake of the body and blood of Jesus? By faith. Amen. Believe. Believe. And he gives life. The people in the wilderness were hungry. Literally, they were convinced that they were going to die. So they murmured against Moses and Aaron, they thought, but they really were murmuring against the Lord. But God said, I am going to rain down bread from heaven to give and sustain, to give and sustain your lives. Amen. And when Jesus shows up, he's preaching in the synagogue of Capernaum, and he stands up and says, you need to do the work of my Father if you want to have life. They say, well, what's the work of the Father? He said, you believe in the one that the Father sent. Well, who did he send? And Jesus says, he sent bread from heaven. And Jesus Christ is the living bread, and he gives and he sustains the life of all who come to him by faith. And you can hunger and thirst no more. I know y'all are good Baptist people, and you're hungry all the time, like me. I'm hungry right now. I'll probably go home and eat a Pop-Tart. That's not bread from heaven. You know how I know? Because I can eat two and I still want more. It doesn't satisfy. And it never will. Amen. You can buy fancy bread. How many of you guys like to go to Panera and get fancy bread? Any of you? Only three or four of you like fancy bread from Panera? Okay. Well, where's my rainbow white bread, people? Some of you took that white bread comment a little wrong. Sorry. Whatever we eat in this life, we're still going to be hungry. But my soul cannot hunger anymore. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was dying of hunger spiritually, and Jesus has fulfilled me. He sustains me, and I cannot hunger spiritually ever again. I can't. When you have Jesus in you by faith, there's not room for anything else. You're full. He gives you everything you need so that you don't lack anything. Gives you exactly what you need in every way spiritually. Tonight, I wonder if your faith is settled, that you have partaken of the bread of life, that you by faith have trusted in Jesus. If that's true, you have eternal life. But if you've never been saved, you're hungry spiritually, you're dying spiritually, you need to come to Jesus and take him in by faith. Amen. As a hungry beggar who has found bread that has given me life. It's from one beggar to another beggar. Let me tell you where you can find bread. It's in Christ alone. Amen. How do I get saved? How do I partake of the bread? You believe. You say, I don't even know how to believe. Well, you can tell him that. Lord, I don't know how to believe, but I want to believe. You know, I think a lot of people have been saved that way. Lord, I don't know how to get saved, but I want to get saved. I don't know how to believe. I don't know how to pray. I don't know any of this. You don't have to. You have to trust in him in your heart. I don't know how to get saved. I just believe Jesus died for me and rose again.
Amen.
That's kind of it, friends. I know there's a lot of people when I tell you, repeat this prayer, say this prayer. It's not in repeating a prayer. It's not one, two, three, repeat after me. It's trusting in Christ with your heart.
Amen.
And you can do that tonight. And if you have done that, man, rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice. And then take that bread that's given you life and share him with everyone you can.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven,